Amen. I'd like you to go to Titus chapter 1, verse 15. I had something stir in my heart. I'll probably be sharing more in the lines of what I had last week, but I'm not doing that this week. I have something else stir in me to share with you. So it says, verse 15, "Under the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in word they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." To the pure all things are pure. When your heart's pure, then you look out through pure eyes. You know, a young child doesn't know there's evil people. Their hearts are pure, and they think everybody's good. That's why I have to tell them, like, don't take candy from a stranger and things like that. Everybody's pure. There's an assumption all people make, unless you purpose not to. And that is, other people don't think like you think. Other people don't think like you think. People will assume other people think like they think. So someone could be very innocent, like a child, and think everybody's just means well and is good, when in reality there are evil people. And you have it in people's adulthood. They'll assume, like, if you're critical, if you're a suspicious person, if you're judgmental, you're going to think everyone's critical and judgmental of you. And they're not. You know, when you walk in love, you'll look through those eyes. I see you according to how God does, not according to the flesh. But when you live by the flesh, you'll look at others in light of how you think. So again, people are always worried about someone judging them and being critical of them. You'll find, if you listen to them, because what's in you always will come out of the mouth, what you'll find is they themselves are judgmental and critical. Where for us, we want to allow our heart to be purified, that we would see like God sees, or through his eyes, from the perspective of a pure heart, believing the best, knowing that there's evil, but believing for the best. This is very, very important. One of the great errors in international relations is this very thing. You have diplomats and politicians who don't understand this, who think, well, just like this week, well, if we throw money at Iran, they'll be nice guys. They'll toe the line for the money. That's how an American would think. That's not how Iranians think, or Muslims. That's not how they think at all. I know Dale shared with me before, like in the Russian culture, if you have strength and don't impose it and show it and impose it, then they perceive you as weak. What we think is, if you have strength and power and are restrained to use it judiciously and where needed, that's love. Well, they don't think like us. So as soon as you have someone like Putin realize there's a weak leader, and that weak leader thinks, well, we can buy them off, or we can threaten them or do something else, they don't understand who they're dealing with. They don't understand the people. If you're trying to deal reasonably with someone who has no conscience, you're a fool. Because they are going to act out of what's in them. And you can't just be ignorant about that. So the assumption people make is other people are like them. Now, for us, though, we need to look at people through the eyes of God, through his love, and that's pure. Now, a pure heart begins with being born of the Spirit, the regeneration of the blood of the Holy Ghost, and the washing of the blood of the Lamb. And what happens, your desires are changed. You want to please God. If that's not your desire, you may not be born again. Now, I don't say that to impose fear or make anyone feel threatened. That's just the truth. I felt for years and years, there's a lot of people think they're saved and they're really not. And we'll see in Scripture here a little bit more with that. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But I'm just saying here that when you're truly saved and aware of the Savior, your hearts change and it becomes pure as a newborn baby would. Then as you're going on in life, you begin to develop in your mind an understanding, and you're going to walk according to that. You develop values and thought processes, and they could be good or they could be bad. If you're taking in, feeding the soul, that which is poison to you, then that purity will be lost. One of the things that's such a real shame and it's so sad is when you see children robbed of the purity of childhood, when they're exposed to evil before they should be, because it completely robs the joy of their salvation. In the purity, there is a joy. Small children are just happy, like rolling a little plastic truck that has four wheels on it. You know, they're happy, very simple. Daddy, there's a squirrel. You know, it just doesn't take too much. But the reality of the curse on the earth and sin and all those things, people lose their joy even in a complete sense. And they ultimately will become bitter. And bitterness will lead to being defiled in a total sense. Now, he says here that to the unbelieving and the defiled, nothing is pure. Their conscience is defiled, or it's hardened, it's seared, other words used in the New Testament, a hardened, seared conscience where they do not feel any sense of right and wrong. Sometimes my wife, you know, will hear things that you hear people doing in the nation, gross, abominable sins. You think, and say, well, how can they do that? Or you hear, you know, the pundits saying that. Well, it's quite simple. They have a seared conscience. They're defiled. And that all proceeds out from rejecting God, and to reject him is to reject his word. And the reason people do that is they want no distress, no restraint on their flesh. They just want to please themselves, please their flesh. And the things of God pose a restraint. But with no restraint, you have what we see in the land, this lawlessness, this utter rebellion. That's what you have, what you end up with. So people shouldn't marvel. It just merely reflects the degree of the rejection of God in the nation and the degree of the hardness of heart and the removal of any restraining force. Law restrains the flesh. God's intention is that flesh be restrained until the heart's changed, where then you proceed from that new birth by the Spirit of God to walk as he walked. So he says here, such people profess they know God, but in works they deny him. So you'll hear many say, oh yeah, I believe in God. They go to church, they're Catholic or this or that or the other. And there's born again Catholics or denominational people, but many are not, and are deceived to think they are. I say, well, how can you say that? Well, the Scripture says that. Your faith, you can say what you believe in James chapter 2, but your works show forth what you really believe, what's in abundance. He says, in every work reprobate, that means there's no conviction. Whatever they're doing, there's no restraint in their spirit by the Holy Spirit because they are in a state of total rebellion to God. And they don't even know it necessarily until the Spirit of God shows up, like through you, or whatever means. And the mere mention of the name of Jesus sets those devils off. Either get away from you or hurt you. But there's not much else they're going to do. They might just try to get away from you. But they also could be so angered, those demons, that they want to destroy whatever would endeavor to bring that conviction to them. Because they end up hating God. So the pure in heart. Now, what stirred in me, stirred this message, I shared with you last week how sort of what my little journey here in the last 2 months or so, and to where my kidneys were shutting down, and I would have died had not there been any intervention there. And I received more understanding about the function of God's created kidney in your body, in my body. And what they do is purify your blood. The life flow of the body is in your blood. The life flow of your spirit is the word of God by way of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. And when you're being poisoned, I became so weak. I mean, I could hardly really even talk there for a couple of days. So weak, and I couldn't think straight. And I didn't really want to talk. It was hard enough to think. I mean, I couldn't really even read. I just listened to preaching and praise music. And the doctor had mentioned they really felt strongly I should do dialysis. And what dialysis is, I mean, that's like a machine doing the work of the kidney where it purifies your blood. So I was a little stubborn at first and reluctant. And finally, it's like, because it was, I hate making decisions if I can't think straight. And I could barely think. I hate making decisions under a time imposition. And without full understanding of my options and what is before me. I don't like making decisions that way, but I had to. So I know the prayer of family and church was very important, because that's where other people's prayers come in, where you're at the end of yourself. So I felt to do it, and an hour after that, it was like a brain fog lifted. Did you ever drive in a fog? You can't hardly see. You're concerned you're going to wreck a car. It was like I was in a fog. And it lifted. And I like marveled at this. I can think straight again. Praise the Lord. My blood was being purified. Now, as it is in the physical, so it is in the spirit. Your heart needs to continue to be purified, because there's evil in the world. Now, in the natural, to the body, there's toxins in the foods, the water, the air. You are constantly intaking toxins. And if they're not flushed out, they're going to cause you to be foggy brain and other particular health issues, weak, which was the case with me. Now, here's the thing. I didn't realize that was a problem. I didn't realize how weak I was till I began to get strong again. I didn't realize, now I would when I think about I can't do what I want to do, but apart from that, I didn't realize how bad it was. I didn't realize how foggy-brained I had become. And you know, I'm like a short memory. I feel I have a very strong mind. And I was completely fogged in my mind. And I didn't realize, because if something goes slow and lingers, that becomes a new norm to you. And you don't realize that you're the frog cooking in the water that's getting worse and worse. Now, I'm likening that to a spiritual condition. And that is, if we are in the process of being defiled, you probably won't even realize it. That's where someone say, no, I'm fine. Yeah. Are you? You used to agitate me when like a nurse or doctor come in and say, what day is it? Where are you? One did that to me. And I said, stop insulting me. She was like a trainee too on top of it. I wasn't trying to be ignorant. It's just, you're insulting me. I'm not senile. You know, I'm not, but probably when they looked at my face, I probably looked like, oh, is this guy here or not? Just like at a doctor saying certain things once and was waiting for my response. And I was just thinking, I was looking at him. Donna said, he heard every word you said. And I repeated then everything he said. So sometimes someone might look a certain way to you. Don't judge them. They may not be what they look like, okay? And anyway, my mind went clear from fogged. And if you let sin in your heart, you're being defiled. It is a process. You may not even realize it's happening. But you'll notice you can't do what you would have liked to do at times. And the joy of the Lord is going to be subtracted out from your life. It's going to be less and less and less if you ever had it in the first place. But in that pure heart, that you're born into the Spirit, love and peace and joy. You're born into that. I want to go up to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. There we go. Hit the wrong chapter. Chapter 3, verse 1. Did you find it? Yes. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now he's saying we are born of God. Okay, the regeneration. If you're born again, your heart is to want to please God. That's where in Romans 8 says, children of God cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. You want to please your heavenly Father. An earthly child has a desire in them to please their parents. That's the number one thing you have to work with in training them up. They want to please you. It is a terrible thing when people withhold love and affirmation to manipulate their kids to do what they want. Anyone who does that is a bad leader. And that's why you have bad kids, okay, because of bad parenting. It's bad leadership on their part. But they want to please you. And some people, part of their story is that they never heard, I'm proud of you, son. They never heard, I love you. They never heard, you're doing a good job. That people withhold affirmation because they manipulate with the evil side, the negative side of things. And some people carry that with them their whole life in the torment of not feeling they're pleasing their parents. Well, we have, when we're born of the Spirit, you do want to please him. If that's not the dominant desire, we could say you're back sin, but you've been defiled. If you accepted the Lord, you've been defiled. If the dominant desires to please yourself or live in worldliness or whatever, more than pleasing God, you've been defiled. You're in a death process. But when we have the hope of being like Jesus, because we're born of him, so we don't know yet what we are. Children want to become like, they imitate. They will imitate you. They may not listen to you, but they will imitate you. So you'll have people in their adulthood doing what they hated in their parents because they've learned their ways. They imitate them. And some people need to be set free by the power of the Word of God from the things of the past, from the old ways that they learned. But for us, if we're born again, we want to please God. And we don't necessarily know, well, what does that look like, except we see Jesus Christ, the image of God, the first begotten, the exact image, exact expression of God. When we behold Jesus, we see who we are. We see what God wants us to be. So he says, when he shall appear. Now, it's generally not good to interpret things from the Bible, from the English, and draw doctrine. Because the English is not a good translation. It's not even a good language for expression. This was written in the Greek, and it's the word phaneroo for God revealing himself or manifesting himself. It's not talking there about the second coming of Christ, but rather as he manifests himself, as he reveals himself to us, we begin to be changed into that image, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus said, Matthew 5:8, the pure in heart shall see God. As our hearts been purified as a result of our believing upon him, Jesus, and the work of his blood, as our hearts pure and we look into his word, we see him. He reveals himself to us, and in that we see what we are to be. Might so I've tried to be that. It says again, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord into that image, to what you see of Jesus, because you're in him. You're a son of God as a baby, and you change into what you see of Jesus as a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not you trying. If you're trying, you're always going to feel like a failure. It comes by you obeying. Believe and obey. It's in the obedience. In John 15, verse 3, Jesus said, you are clean through my word that I've spoken to you. The word clean there is the same word as pure. You're made pure by the word. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, he speaks of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and goes on to say that you have purified your soul by obeying the truth unto loving your brethren with a pure heart. You are purified in the moments of obedience. It says you purified your soul. When you're born again, your spirit's purified. As you look into the Word and receive the Holy Spirit's ministry, your soul is purified. Now, your spirit's not being contaminated. That's sealed with the Holy Spirit. But your soul does get contaminated from all of the unbelief, the slander, the strife, unforgiveness, all these things contaminate, they defile, they poison us. And if your spiritual kidneys aren't working and there's no purification, then those things will defile you. They will defile you. Don't be deceived and think, well, I'm good. I do good things. I don't have the time, but if we read on in this chapter, he brings out about the children of the devil commit sin, and the children of righteousness do righteousness. And the word do and commits the same word in the Greek, because that's what you're producing. It's the fruit you produce. Jesus said you'll know of what spirit people are by their fruit. What are you producing? And sometimes people, they try to be good because that's a religious thought. I'll be good and get to heaven. Good people go to hell. You only get to heaven by your faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven. The Bible's very clear. One way. Jesus Christ and Him alone. All other religions are false. They're a lie. They'll take people to hell with them. And the religion of good works is right there with it. People think, well, I'm okay. I'm okay. God will just wink and nod. Just because on the earth there's evil people winking and nodding at sin, that doesn't mean that God does. Now, He isn't like punishing you for each incident. We need to judge ourselves. And that's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry to help us judge ourselves. How can you do that? Except you have the Word. So we must continue to have the Word of God as a priority in our life, because by it we are purified in our soul. Oh, well, you know, I know that. That's a sign you're not being purified. Well, I get bored. Repent. Repent. Your heart's drifted from God and you don't even know it. You're like I was in the hospital being poisoned and don't know it and don't realize it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to turmoil. And then someone says, once somebody say a prayer so I can get out of this. You've created that. And if you go far enough in it, your heart can get hard where it doesn't hear anything anymore. Doesn't hear any correction, any instruction. If you bristle at instruction or correction, rebuke, that's a sign. That's a sign your heart's hardened. You know, young children like to learn until the flesh begins to rear up and they learn the word no. And they still sort of want to learn, but that can decrease. And it was so sad to me if in school you would notice some kids, like during chapel, they only half pay attention or not really hardly at all. They're already hard. And their parents are deceived to think they're saved, and they probably never were. They're already hard. It can begin to come upon you at a very young age. We have to keep a pure heart. And as someone growing up is learning to discern as they receive the Word of God, learning to discern things, they need to be protected somewhat from the evil, lest it defile them. And you hear stories all the time about people who, I can't believe my children are off in this addiction or this or that or murder or whatever. And I can't believe that. I thought they were a good boy. Good boy doesn't cut it. They need the Word of God. They need a regenerated heart. And kids can learn to say what, out of their desire to please their parents, say what they think they want them to hear. Oh yeah, I prayed a prayer. I accepted Jesus. And sometimes they never have. That's why you'll hear some people say, well, I got saved at age 18, but I thought I did at age 6. They weren't saved at age 6. Now, there are those who have, but the point here is the ongoing purification is a result of the work of the Word of God in our life. That's why Deuteronomy 6 says to tell your children to talk about the Word when you get up, when you lie down, when you travel, so on and so forth. Now, to do that, for them to receive it, you can't be a hypocrite and just preach it at them and you don't abide or live in it yourself. Well, when we have the desire to be like, and that's, if we're born again, what is it to be born again? You're a new creature. You're a new person. You're made in his image. The destiny is to become like him, that your life would be pleasing to him. If that's your hope, see, your hope moves you forward towards something. Hope imposes discipline. Without a vision, my people perish. It means there's no discipline. And that will cause you to discipline yourself to reach the goal. The goal in God is for you to be like Jesus. And everything else is a byproduct. It'll come right. The fruit of that will just follow. It's not about trying to live the Christian life. It's abiding in him. That's what Jesus made it real simple there in John 15. Abiding in him, his word. And it will produce fruit for the glory of God. Amen.